I just want to start from the outset to say that any decision we make today may change tomorrow. In order to have the best expert advice, we have commissioned...
Supercoach 360.
If the time's going up, it's recording.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, time for the show.
Oh, mate, 100%.
We need to find out why they think it's okay to say anything.
It's certainly one of the greatest challenges in the history of the game.
That's what they want to try and do.
Megastar to megastar!
In this regard, we're leaving every option on the table.
Excellent. Oh,
what was that, buddy?
That was something special.
You know what?
That's not talent.
Uh-oh.
Supercoach 360.
The best way to handle these things is to stay measured, stay calm, you know, live your life as normal.
Unless we start finding it off the people... who actually
just do it.
It makes their little ordinary life feel a little bit better for that moment.
Makes you
cool. Supercoach 360 podcast.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
G'day, welcome to Supercoach 360. How you doing? Juzzy J in the coach's box, rain, hail, shine, or flood. Of course, we are coming to you from Western Sydney. We've moved to the coach's caravan of courage here out in Windsor. So the water's just around the corner, but it's all right. Apparently she's a boat, she floats. So here's hoping, we'll get through. We're all right, but our thoughts go out to everybody who is impacted by the floods at the moment. It's pretty rough, four times in a year. Con, what did you keep saying? 400-year flood or 1,000-year flood?
Yeah, second at least 1,000-year flood in the last 3 months. So, we're on good track at the moment.
How was your week, Supercoach-wise, buddy? What's going on? How you doing? Get some life into your con.
Well, I won all my leagues, but...
Same, I did all right this week.
A lot of them don't mean anything at the moment, but I feel I'm still in a good position for two of them, so they're the main ones. But all in all, pretty good week. No injuries to speak of, serious ones, so yeah, good week, I guess.
Yeah, sweet ass. We've got lots to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about trades, what you should do with the run home, and trades-wise, depending on where you're at. We're going to talk about Paps a lot, because it's Paps. Oh, man, we're missing Louis tonight, and believe me, we're noticing it. We miss you, Louis. We're going to talk about Paps a lot. We're going to talk about Haas being out injured. When will the resting start? We got Brad Smith's put through some contribution. He's feeling a little bit better this week. Shout out to Braddo. Ross Smith's put through a buy, hold, sell as well. All up on the website, Supercoach 360. We've got a bunch to talk about. We're officially the Wednesday night late show now because we just keep getting late week Tuesday after week after week. Show. Tuesday night. There we go. Bang. 100%. This dude knows what's up. Can you tell? Whoa, kids'
big
birthdays destroy me, man. Kids' birthdays all weekend. We've got a bunch to talk about. Let's start with Pappy. You boys both owners. Shout out, Burns.
Yeah.
How you doing, buddy?
Good, guys. Thanks for having me. Owner.
How'd you get him? You held on or?
Nah, I had to sell Nat Butcher and I think I sold Tamari Martin. And I had some bank, so I moved Ezra down to 6 when I got rid of Tamari Martin, put Nico Hines up and brought in Papenhuis, and can't remember what I did with the other one. I brought in Pereira, that's right, through the jewels.
You got Paps.
Just because I knew he'll play this week and he'd probably score okay. Got Paps. And I didn't balls up. I didn't balls up and captain him. I VC'd him. And then I decided to loop when it was too late. And then I got stuck with IPAPS 38, yeah, which hurt me a lot. But that's what happens when you loop and don't just balls up, you know. And the purists are laughing at me. So they hate the loop. So
I was in a similar predicament, but not as bad. Yeah. Didn't just balls up and Captain Paps as I spruced last week.
Yeah.
I've decided to BC him and go with Cleary, which, yeah, cost me over 100 points in the end.
Yeah.
Luckily, it didn't cost me a head-to-head, so...
Cost me nearly all my head-to-heads.
Yeah, that would make me really cranky.
Yeah, so very upset. But that's just been my year. I've had the worst Supercoach year. I think I've seen Red Arrow 6 weeks in a row. I don't think even in my shitter times I've ever done that. So yeah. That's a new record for me this year.
You achieve something then.
Try to get better next year. But yeah, like, in saying that, Supercoach, mate, someone's got to go shit, you know.
It's a fickle bitch.
Might as well be me. We've all been there in the past, by the
newbies.
We're
all there.
So
don't worry.
Yeah. We're talking Paps and how to get him. Like, how do you go about getting him in? Like, if you don't have him.
If I don't have him, and if I don't have a bank, I'm just sacrificing a gun somewhere for someone who could potentially make money or just enough. Just to get Paps in.
You got to get him,
I
mean,
no holds barred. You got to have him.
He's going to be the guy you'll miss out if you don't have him.
I think so.
He
was on bugger all points. And he's on 4 minutes. He scored like 90 points.
He was on 25.
Not 90, but that was.
He was on 25 or 30 points at 70-minute mark. And I had a full buyer's regret. I'm like, this is fucked. I've spent 900 grand on this dude. He's done nothing. And then bang.
Scored a try. Set a try up. Scored another one.
And you know, so to his credit, he's only going to get better from here. You'd only assume that was his first week back in how many weeks?
10?
6 or 7.
Of that one?
Yeah, so.
I think he got injured in round 9. So it's almost 10 weeks.
Yeah, so 8 weeks. Long stint on the sideline and come back and do well. So, yeah, I feel he's the guy you got to get and at heaven and earth cost. I'd sacrifice a Teddy or someone for him, personally me.
100%. But, you can get Teddy back later date, I think.
Yeah.
I moved Munster on last week, just in a desperate move to grab Paps. Don't regret a thing. I'll figure out how to get Munster back. I mean, I'm pretty much just waiting on, Tamari and Ezra to juice up.
Tamari's hurt.
Well, that's it. So I'll move Tamari on, but I've got to try and juice Ezra at the same time. To be honest, Tamari done
Ezra,
and sitting there.
Ezra can sit there for a while, I feel.
Yeah, depends on how long.
I don't think there's any necessity to sell Ezra.
I'm going to give him a couple of games and then hopefully go back to Munster, but then I've got to figure out how to get, you know, the cash for Trell. And get him down in my fullback for the run home. But I believe we're going to talk about that later because you've been juicing the run home and you were trying to put together your dream team. So what do you do if you're a non-owner, boys? I mean...
Get him.
Yeah, how do you gut your team?
Look, I wouldn't...
Or what's the pathway to do it? Like, where should you be at? Because I feel he is a must-have.
For me, I wouldn't be selling one of my solidified guns like a Nathan Cleary... Or I might do the play you did and sell the Munster just because you won't see him again till 18, maybe 19, you know.
Totally disagree. Whatever cash cows you've got available in your centre wing,
like
second row, front row.
Don't have any.
You
none, not a single one.
Or even a back row or a front rower.
Yeah.
Who you don't feel is a genuine top 17 keeper. In your last game, get rid of them for enough. Get Paps. Use that cash for Paps. Just get Paps at whatever means necessary.
This is your week to do it if you've boosted your ass off too, because you get your extra trade. So you can afford to maybe sacrifice, like make the sacrifice of, I don't know, a second rower if you've maybe got an extra. Or maybe if you've got like a Payne Haas or something in the front row, even a Lolo maybe. Once Cotter comes back, I can see Lolo.
Well, okay, what you got to ask yourself is it worth having 3 premium front rowers? Well, I know a lot of the top teams are only running 2 at the moment. A lot of them are, which could be to their detriment later on, but they're up the top, so.
Cool.
But if you're running three, it might be worth just sacrificing one to enough just to get Paps in. Because if top teams are only running two and getting away with it, there might be something to that.
Well, if you remember last week, a lot of people were banking on him coming back and having a semi-quiet game and making $100,000, and it hasn't happened for him. Like you,
Sangster's advice in the countdown show was, "Don't buy this week. There's no way he'll hit his break even." And people blowing up on Facebook about.
Well, speaking,
I heard Timmy Williams also mention on SEN radio, "Don't get him this week. He's going to drop a shitload of cash. Wait."
That was
a popular opinion out there, which was granted. You can see where they're coming from.
Yeah, I just didn't think it was worth the risk. Like, yeah, he's missed that much football, and they need him so much, especially with Munster out.
Yeah, well, what you talked about earlier with us, Paps made money after falling short of his break even. So that was
On Tuesday when we did the last show, his break even was 145.
150 something, wasn't it?
145. And then he scored 135 and made 1.6 or 1.7K or something. Instead of, he should have lost 7.5K.
Yeah, yeah. So
I don't know what happened.
Miscalculation somewhere?
No. I've noticed it throughout the years with numerous injured players who you're looking to get back in when they're coming back. And even though they don't play for 6 weeks, their break-even continuously changes every week throughout those 6 weeks, even though they haven't taken a field. So why does their break-even continuously change every week when nothing has changed with them?
I'm not sure. Maybe it just gets adjusted with the round. Maybe
why?
Because
they haven't played. Their stats haven't changed.
But maybe with the end, like maybe it goes off a season rolling thing. So once that week's played, it just readjusts naturally, because that's what you've got to get to see out the season or something like that. I'm not
magical number, as they love to call it, continuously changes round by round.
Well, but you'd assume it's on an algorithm anyway. So yeah, I reckon it would change round by round because it'd be.
But shouldn't we have a set one at the start of the year and that's it?
Yeah, but
prices run off that.
People's
shouldn't be a rolling.
People's prices can fluctuate so much. Like,
100% they can.
Yeah, and it have some, like, I don't mathematically know the answer to this, but I'm guessing it has something to do with your threes and fives.
What you said right there is the only thing you can put it down to is the money system is based on a continuously changing magic number that has a base price for these players.
Yeah.
Which therefore, I think, doesn't help super coaches who are trying to predict so far into the future if this number keeps changing.
Well, if it's not changing dramatically, like if he's not going from, say, 140 to 70, it's only going up and down, say, 14 to 20 points.
But he lost, instead of losing 8K or whatever this week, he's gained 2K, so there's 10,000 difference. And then that therefore then changes his break even again for next week to be lower. So then he needs less points to achieve his break-even again. Yeah. So these players that are sitting there, and we've been there plenty of times, who are $1,600, $1,400 short of that gun player to bring into your team when we didn't have boost and we could do nothing about it. People would be in that situation now with Paps, which I don't think's fair. Yeah. They would have budgeted for him to be at this price, even if you got this score or whatever. And now that subtle change there alone could be the big difference to having him this week or not having him this week.
We all know 10 grand, massive money.
$100 sometimes you can be like, oh my God.
Yeah, like, so yeah, I get what you, like, it's a big thing, like,
I've lost the book.
But yeah, like, for me, I don't notice that much into it. Like, you've obviously dived into that a lot further than I have.
Yeah, well, this isn't the first time I've noticed, like, Turbo. His break even's changed numerous times while he's been out injured. Whether he's played or not, I just don't understand why. If a player's not playing, their break even should not change, no matter what else happens in the Supercoach competition. In my opinion,
yeah.
If their stats haven't changed, their break even shouldn't change.
Yeah. All right. So Paps, we were all said, yeah, Paps is a must get at all costs. Doesn't matter how you get him.
Not at all costs. Sacrifice one gun, get him in.
Yeah.
Don't sacrifice three guns for a couple of mid-rangers who could be potential upgrades later on.
But all right,
sacrifice one gun for enough. Can you? Simple.
Can you foresee a world where you can go without him?
Well, absolutely, he can. He could obviously get injured next week.
Yeah, he could. But
well, his name as starting fullback for the Storm, in my opinion, you want him in your Supercoach team. No ifs, buts, maybes.
Yeah. Chuzzy, what do you got on your list, bud? What do you want
to? Do you agree to that or?
Yeah, 100%. That's why I got him. I had to get him last week because I didn't want to miss. I didn't want to miss being one of the first ones on and getting those points, even though I crueled myself with captaincy. But
you still got 135.
I still got him. You know what I mean? And for me, that was a good get because now, like you said, and with money changing, you don't know if people that were banking on to do well have done well, and they might not have the cash to move them on as well. So,
well,
especially if the drop people were estimating on him, like it was stupid money.
A lot of people, I think, were estimating on Teddy to pretty much hold steady last week at like over $750,000+, and perhaps to drop a shitload, and then they're going to do the clean swap. But instead, Paps went up and Teddy dropped. I think 50-odd K.
Yeah.
So, and they lost 70 points.
Yep. So, yeah, he's a definite must for me. I'd find a way no matter what. But sometimes that's not achievable for everyone to find the way. You might not be able to get there. Stepping stone-wise, can you spear anyone into a semi-stepping stone or there's just... You're going to have to juice somewhere else to get the money for down there.
I think you're more relying on Paps to lose money than to get a good enough stepping stone to get to Paps.
Yeah.
You're relying on more of a bad run of form from him, which in that case, then you don't really want to buy him anyway if he's on a terrible run, even if he's dropped down that price.
Yeah.
So, get him.
Get him. Does he?
Alrighty. So, Pappenhausen pretty much sorted.
Yep.
Bad reffing decisions, boys. So, the refs have had a few corkers lately. There's been, Cons, I can see the rage burning, building behind him. This was actually Berg's rant to have, but I can feel like Gregory's going to get out. I think Gregory's got an opinion on this, so I'm just going to throw to you, Berg's. What's been the bad reffing decisions? And
I think it comes down to all work. At some point, you just hit a bit of a lull, and they seem to be in a lull and really not officiating games to their full potential. Like, there was a couple of calls on the weekend, for me anyway, like that were a bit contentious, especially in the Panthers-Roosters game where I feel Roosters were well in that game and the refs... Granted, you're doing the wrong thing. A penalty is a penalty, but the refs really...
Not when a penalty's not a penalty.
Well, that second one, that's that one.
That Beryl's tackle on Sorensen.
That was solid.
In no world whatsoever is that a penalty.
Yeah.
So, and they didn't do anything wrong then to then concede to kick our try two or three tackles later, which all but put the nail in the coffin.
Yeah. Well, they were well and truly in that game. They were up for that game. Yeah. I think our message, real messaging... Earlier on in the piece, and I said, the Roosters look up for it. And you said, nah, they're going to blow them off the park. I said, nah.
Even half time, I was still confident Panthers would run away with it.
And I said, nah, the Roosters really look up for it. And without those calls, Penrith still win, but...
Oh, do they?
Yeah, without those calls...
I don't know.
It is a much better contest. And... That's what we want to see. And our super coach suffered from that. I've still got Angus Crichton. Angus Crichton, like you said earlier when we were just chatting off air, the penalty went too far.
The advantage went too far, in my opinion.
Like, either give him the send-off, send him for 10 straight away, or don't let it go 8 tackles.
It was definitely a sin-binable offence, and the ref should have stopped it there and then, but... To let it play on for 2 tackles and then award at 6 again and then let him have another 2 or 3 tackles and then they make an error to then go back and penalise it and send him off, I think,
and then
I don't like.
Straight back on the front foot again.
If you haven't run your 2 tackles and then got a 6 again and then run another 2 plays if that's not advantage taken, what is? Does it take for them to score a try before they have to negate 60 seconds of play to go back five plays to send someone else?
In the instance of, like, foul play like that, I'm pretty
sure... Just award it straight away, then. Well, do they, it, there should, and then. Don't play on, just do it.
They should. If it's clear cut, they already lose the man. Doesn't matter about advantage. You're going to have advantage for 10 more minutes. Like, doesn't matter about the advantage. And that's the whole reason old mate slows them down.
But then if they do score the try... Is it like a penalty try situation where old mate then does not go to the bin?
I think so. I think he can't be sent to the bin then because that's what the whole idea of the advantage is.
So how far does this advantage go?
To the try.
If they force drop out, is that advantage play? Or do we still go back to the send-off then?
I think we go back for the send-off then.
Like that's what I mean. Like, where's the line?
I don't know. I don't think they know. I think sometimes they make it up as they go.
They brought this shit in 2 years ago. When they first started six again, they'd let a set of 6-0, and then they'd go back 70 metres, five plays, and rule a penalty. And it quickly got fucking shitted out of the game. And now, to introduce it for this one-off occasion 3 years later, like, it just doesn't flow.
They're back to doing, and this really irritates me, the refs don't know what they're doing. Like, because sometimes they'll blow the six again when it should be the penalty, then they tell them to go back, kick for touch. Or the other way around. They're inside the 40, they tell, oh, blow penalty, and then it's like, hold on, no, go back and play the ball because it's meant to be a six again. It's like, well, technically it's meant to be a penalty, just kick the fucking ball. Like,
the ref's biggest problem is they've never played football. They don't understand actual football. They just adjudicate by the rules they're given and what they're taught.
Just shits me.
Like, you can see, as someone who's grown up playing some football, just the common sense calls that these black and white rules just kill. Like an obstruction, 30 metres on the inside where a try scored over the other side of the field. And let's come back for an obstruction. But it had absolutely nothing to do with that. But according to the rules. But these referees and the bunkers, they just don't understand it.
The bunker's getting better with the grey.
No, the bunker's getting worse, I think. Fucking hateable. Sorry.
Yeah, well, anyway, yeah, that's just... Refs, for me, are going to cruel the game. Like, they do, and it's at that point, again, this year, where they're now starting to cruel the game a bit more, like...
Well, the prime example, as I was seeing on NRL 360 last night, was Ben Hunt last weekend on the Raiders, where they were attacking the line. There was about 15 seconds ago or something. He come in, deliberately flopped on a player to hold him down longer, and the ref, oh, six again. And then he got up and wasn't square at marker and chopped the hooker down straight away. Six again. And then time expired.
Yeah.
How does that help the fucking Raiders?
Yeah. It
like they said, he needed to grow some cojones, blow a penalty, send Ben Hunt off the field.
Well, there needs to be a line for the six again. This is probably what they should work out.
The referees have the discretion. If they feel it's gone too far, he can penalise him. And that's within the rules.
I think they just, this is easier for them. So they just...
But it's...
It keeps the game going fast.
Like that's, but in that situation, like they say, he has to have game awareness. Like, they're clearly doing these professional fouls because they know the Raiders can't win if they hold him down. So the ref's got to do something.
Yeah, fuck the refs, eh? So, yeah, all right. Well, we'll go back to Supercoach. When do you think the resting starts for some of these? I know some teams can't afford to rest players, but some of these top teams will, like the Penriths and the Melbournes.
I don't know about that one.
I can see Penrith definitely resting.
Penrith, absolutely.
And for me, it'd be pretty much after Origin as well.
If I'm Ivan, I'm resting from round 18 to probably round 20.
Yeah.
And then having everyone play four or five consecutive weeks leading up into finals, through finals.
Yeah.
Because they're clear. They're minor premiers. No ifs, buts, maybes.
Yeah. Well, what are they?
Worst case scenario, they're home semi.
Are they three wins clear at this point?
I think they're two proper wins clear, and then their four hands pretty much sets them three wins apart.
Well, they have the bye this week, which guarantees them, and the Sharks could beat Melbourne, could. Like, massive could, but not a massive could, I mean. Like, Small could, but could.
Cowboys had the bye and they're on same amount of points as Melbourne. So they will move into second, 2 points ahead of Melbourne if Melbourne lose.
Ah, so yeah. For and against wise, yeah, though, Melbourne would be way in front.
I don't imagine way in front after that, those two dud weeks where they got spanked by 30.
Yeah, but they put 70 on one team, 50 on another. Like, they put some big, big scores on teams that didn't score points against them. So, I know Penrith's 300 and something in front, and Melbourne was nearly 100 behind last time I seen. So, not 100% on what that is.
But Melbourne definitely don't have the luxury of previous seasons of resting their superstars if they want home final advantage.
Now, what about others? Like, what about others that might not be vying for them top spots, but still might be in the hunt for the eight, but players have had big seasons. Can you see?
Oh, well, there you go. Penrith are actually 3 clear wins ahead, plus 100 points in for and against. So almost 4 wins.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's monstrous.
But it's good for Supercoaches because the Roosters don't have the luxury. They're fighting to be in the eight. They can't rest players. They can't rest your Teddies and Manus and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Rabbitohs, they're struggling to be in the eight. Parramatta, they want a top 4 place. Broncos, Sharks, Cowboys, they all want top 4, if not top 2.
Yeah.
So the luxury of resting this year, I feel, you have to do it early or so you don't
can,
do it.
So you can produce at the back end. So, yeah, there will be these next couple of rounds, probably 18, 19, 20, like you said, that you'll see the rest coming in.
Like, I get you want to have a fit and healthy squad at the end of the year, but as we know, if you don't finish top 4, you don't win the comp.
Yeah, yeah, it even helps more top 2, really. You know you're in a better stead if you're at home. Like, especially
and
if...
second chance.
Especially if you're a Melbourne taking on the Cowboys. Either way you look at that, like, if Melbourne have to go up there, hot as. If you have to go down there, it's still pretty cold.
It
so
changes the odds drastically.
It does. It does. Whereas if Sydney game, Sydney game. So, like, Penrith, whatever.
Yeah, Penrith or Parramatta, it's no difference.
No difference.
But there is. You got the home atmosphere and you know the ground.
Well, in saying that, like
everything slopes different. Everything's...
Well, it does, but Penrith for me... They're about to lose their stadium, aren't they?
No, I got some exciting news for you.
Oh, there's a reneg.
Is it exciting?
No, there is no reneg. It was announced today, actually, that the New South Wales government is about to acquire the Paceway. We will be at Bluebet Stadium all through 2023 while they build a new stadium next door on the bigger site.
What happened to the Trotters, mate?
My question
I don't know. They'll get confiscated, no doubt.
What is wrong with Penrith Park as it is today? I think it's one of the best grounds to go and watch football at. I don't see why you need to change it.
I can tell you exactly why.
I think they're planning on keeping Penrith Park even afterwards, and they're going to hopefully turn it into a junior hub stadium, sort of like St Mary's League Stadium at the moment.
Nah. It's getting an airport, boys. We're about to become a city. It's going to be
straight in the middle of Penrith.
It's no, but at Badgers Creek, which is up the road. So
yeah, I get that.
It's a place where people are going to want to go watch football. So it's going to be a mini city. So it's going to be a fun time there in 10, 15 years.
I just love the way Penrith Stadium is, and I don't feel it needs an upgrade.
I think there's other
grounds out there that could use the money.
Oh, Leichhardt or something like that. Definitely, but... There's plenty. Nah, Belmore.
Why would you put a stadium at Leichhardt? Sorry, I hate to be the one to do this. Because I'm the person. No.
Why wouldn't you?
Well, no, why would you?
What major sporting ground is at Leichhardt or in Campbelltown area? Not Campbelltown.
Well, that's it. Campbelltown's different. If we're talking Campbelltown, I actually think you should put a stadium out there. But we're not. We're talking Leichhardt.
Yeah.
Why would you put a stadium at Leichhardt?
You wouldn't. You're right. Campbelltown, I meant.
There you go. I would put one at Campbelltown, but you know what? This idea of Leichhardt, it's a beautiful, old, traditional suburban ground.
No,
from a time there when there was 1 million people in Sydney. Now there's eight.
Stadium.
You know what I mean? You need grounds like Combank. You need good rugby league grounds because this is the rugby league heartland.
Is that what Penrith...
You can play one game a year at Leichhardt, but yeah.
Is that what Penrith's aiming to achieve? A Combank type stadium?
Well, I think that's what the state government would be trying to achieve.
Yeah, that's hopefully.
At the end of the day, it's like this...
They're not building an oval for Penrith.
It wouldn't just be for the NRL. Like, they'd they want to win, like, World Cup soccers and shit like that in the future. Like, this all comes down to all that kind of stuff too.
Yeah. So, yeah, I just, yeah, I'm on the watch now. I think everyone should be ready for rests. Rests, and I especially think Penrith will be the ones that can afford to have a rest.
How'd you get on the blue bet?
Don't know, but we're back to where we started. All
right, sweet, that's cool.
And, yeah. So, what do we got flowing over there, Juzzy?
What do we have flowing? We got Brad Smith, actually. He sent us in a PPM video for this week.
Yes, Brad.
So we're going to get to that. And hear what Brad has to say. He's feeling a bit better, which is great news. There we go. Biggity bam. Take it away, Brad.
Evening, Super Coaches. Evening to the panel in there at 360. Hope you boys are all doing well and the caravan of chaos is going off. My thoughts and well wishes are with everyone during this hard time down there in Sydney and up on the Central Coast, down the Illawarra, that are suffering from any effects of flooding or any other bad effects of this rain event at the moment. It certainly sucks. We just about need an arc. But, yeah, I really do hope everybody is safe and well out there. And my thoughts are with you. Hope everyone got green arrows last week. Certainly Hobbit's finger team. I'm just sitting there treading water at the moment. Keep getting good average scores, but nothing is shooting me up the rankings too fast. If I buy a player, they'll get sin-binned in the first minute of the game and then I'll get taken off with a head assessment in the 15th minute of the game. That's the way my luck's going at the moment. And some years are like that with Supercoach. It's a can be a vicious game sometimes, and you try as you might, and you use all the right logic to bring a player in. It just sometimes stinks it up for you for no apparent reason. You know, beating all logic. Now, teamless, of course, are out. There's only four games on this weekend. No doubt the boys are going to sit there and they'll have a good chat about some of the obvious ones that everyone will be trying to get. The Pappenhausen. Ryan Madison, now that he's been named at lock, I think is, you know, wow, you know, I'm going to be trying heaven and earth to try and get him in. And he'll sit in my team for the rest of the year. So that's really what we're after, of course. If you're going to bring someone in now, hopefully they'll be sitting there for the duration of your super coaching year now. So it's just to try to save as many trades as you can. I think we've got a few more COVID dramas and a few injury upsets yet coming our way. So, we're going to have to try to be a little bit conservative at times on trades. Looks like this week most teams are going to have around about 11 to 13 players. Seems to be about the average where people are going to be sitting. Certainly if you've got 15, 16, you're going to be flying. All right, I'm going to have a look at a couple of players this week outside of the ordinary sort of ones. There wasn't a lot of cheapies named this week, so I've gone to a couple of mid-rangers that are going to make you some really good cash. These mid-rangers are nicely positioned. If you have, say, like an Adam Elliott, and you want to downgrade to one of these, you can make yourself 300 grand with the click of your fingers. And the base league players I'm going to talk about in a minute average over 50, so I think, you know, yeah, it's a smart move. All right, our first one here. Let's have a look at him. Big Nelson. Nelson Asafa Solomona. 365K. So, you know, geez. I haven't heard him at that price for a long time. That's nice and cheap. Averaging at the moment, just under 49. So he's just near 50. With those averages, though, he had a low of 14 a couple of rounds ago in round 14. And then just before that, he had a 26 as well. Both of them were injury affected. Obviously injury affected. You take out those two low scores and his average actually goes up to around about 58. So, you know, 385 for a player that's going to average around 58. You know, that's one you really should seriously maybe consider, particularly if it frees up around about 200 to 300 grand for you, depending upon who you're selling and downgrading to. Who you're selling to get to Nelson. I think he is a very serious option to try to get yourself some money And certainly as a fourth prop forward going forward, you can just sit him there on your bench, play him against some of the weaker opposition, or when you see the bench of the Storm looking a bit weak, you can, you know, depending upon Bellamy's rotation, he does get more minutes at times. So if you keep an eye on that, you're probably going to go quite okay with him. He's certainly going to give you a bit of depth to your team. So now the next one we need to look at is, what are we doing here? Sorry, people, we're just getting this up for you. The next one we'll look at is Jackie Bird. Jack Bird, 402K. Now, the time, I did mention him last week around the traps. The time to get onto him was last week. He was 350 last week. But this week, he's still only 402 with an average of 15. A BE of only 15. Three round average of 55 odd, and he's only in 4% of teams. Average of 55 odd is nothing to write home about. You know, it's not great, but he is increasing as the season goes on. So he is starting to get a little bit more on a bit of a run, and certainly when he's parked in there in the second row, his scores seem to be better than when they move him around to cover some holes in 5/8 or something like that. So again, it, you know, 55, you're paying 400 for 55, you're selling a 600 value player down to a 400, you know, there's obviously 200 grand that go towards your Pappenhausen kit to try and get him into your team. Probably the biggest thing we have to remember with Bird is your dual. You can easily flick him backwards and forwards between him, Talakai, him, Targo. The duels, particularly as the season goes on, are going to become important so that you get the most out of your teams, particularly on matchups. So you can flip one from one position to another and make sure you've got the best players in the best positions. He's going to get you 55 to 65 each week, barring any injuries. And to tell you the truth, on matchups, he wouldn't be such a bad option. For instance, if you've got a Sibbo in your team and the Eels are coming up against a nice defensive unit like a Panthers or something, rather than risk Sibbo's 20 or probably less knowing him that he is going to get, you're probably better off flicking him onto the bench and playing a Bird for a solid 55. To 65, so do give that some thought. It is certainly worth your while there. Okay, now we've got one more for us to look at tonight. And the last one that we're going to look at, it probably sounds a bit crazy, but it's Jed Cartwright. Now, Jed Cartwright, he's been here, I think he's had about three or four years now. 3 years in the NRL, trying to break into the first grade on a consistent basis, and he pretty much has failed. You have a look at his scores, and they're nothing really to write home about. In fact, if it wasn't for a buy round and didn't need cash, you'd never even consider him in your life. But at only 205K, starting in an edge back rail position for South Sydney this weekend, he's worth a look at, and he's worth a look at because when Cam Murray comes back, he'll go straight out of the side. He won't even go to the bench. The bench of South Sydney looks a bit too versatile and strong, particularly now they've brought Fifita over from the Roosters. I just don't see a bench spot there existing for Cartwright, so he's not going to become an AE emergency. So I think he's one of those perfect ones that you can probably get about 40 to 50 points out of him this week. Then he'll exit your team and he'll just be a nice enough sitting there that you might be able to use for looping options, etc., like that. And many teams will be starting to consider a couple of enoughs here or there throughout their team from now on just to try to get the most out of their trades and to see, of course, if they can get Pappenhausen in like we just spoke about a minute ago. So that's the three players this week. Just a quick one on the Pappenhausen versus Latrell. You know, many people, there is a pot option there for you to go to Latrell rather than Pappenhausen. I'm seriously considering it, and if you have a look at the matchups between the that both teams have got, that now Cronulla versus the Storm does scare me a little bit for any Storm attacking players. I think the Cronulla are going to defend well, and they are going to limit the chances of some of those outside backs for the Storm. I think this is going to be a hard game for the Storm. They look clunky and look, yeah, there's some real, there's a couple of little issues there in the Storm that I don't think the Sharks are manly, let me put it that way. I don't think they're going to let Pappenhausen score 100 points in 7 minutes like he got last weekend. And with a BE of about 115 or something, I do have some reservations there. But then we look at Latrell. I don't have so many reservations. You know, South Sydney coming up against Newcastle. South Sydney I see bouncing very, very nicely there. I saw some positive things last week. We've given them a lot of rubbish over the last few weeks for playing like busted dogs. But they, you know, with Latrell at the back there, he certainly was organising quite a few of them in defence and pointing out and shouting things to his players and trying to get them into position a lot better. And I can only see that improving even more. So coming up against Newcastle, I don't mind the matchup with Latrell. I think we're going to find each week that his combinations and his work rate at the back is actually going to be increasing. So I wouldn't mind betting that he easily gets, I think he's got a BE in the late 80s as well, so although it's reasonably high, I think he's is possibly more achievable than what Pappenhausen's is. So if you've got to choose between the two, I think there's nearly 300,000 difference in price as well. And that's the next thing, 300,000 odd difference in price. I don't think they're going to score a lot different. You know, I don't, you know, Pappenhausen might get 20 or 30 more than him, but is that worth the extra 300,000? That's what you've got to consider. And when you look at it like that and you think about it, you go, well, yeah, maybe I'll be better off waiting a week or two. It is a punt you've got to take. I mean, a lot of us took it last week and didn't take Pappenhausen when we had an opportunity, thinking that he wouldn't make his BE, which he didn't. And he still went up in price, so Tommy Sangster, if you can explain that to me, that'd be good. I have done the maths, it is possible to happen, but it's still a pretty weird anomaly. You don't hit your BE, but you go up in price. Quite funny. But at any rate, do give that one some thought, super coaches. Your Pappenhausen versus your Latrell. It is a very interesting quandary there. So, the three players there to have a look at. Nelson Asofa-Solomona at 365. Should average in around about the mid to high 50s, if not a bit more. Jackie Bird averaging about the same for 402,000. If you're downgrading an option, you can even downgrade Angus Crichton, nearly make 200 grand. So, on the Nelson one. So, give that some thought. I mean, Crichton's playing like shit. And if I had the opportunity to get rid of him myself, I would, but I don't this week, so I'm stuck with him. but, you know, you do have those are a couple of really good options for you. All right, super coaches, till next week. Play safe, have fun, and go the Blues, of course. Thanks, guys. See ya.
Yes, thank you, Braddo. Am I on? Thank you, Braddo. That was awesome. Now, just on that. Now, I have seriously given some consideration in flicking Teddy to Trell. My only concern is Trell's run home towards the back end of the season gets a lot tougher, but so does Teddy's. It's going to be a matter of who outdoes who, and I think with Trell taking back the goal kicking is a plus. but his work ethic's not Teddy like. So that's the negative. So what about you? Would you think about doing that trade, or what trade would you do?
At the moment, I've gone Ezra Mann to Latrell.
Yeah.
Not locked in cement by any stretch of the imagination, but the further on I'm getting, the more I'm liking it. But Pappenhausen would be obviously my main choice if I didn't have him over Latrell. Not. Latrell can do things that no other fullback can do, but he doesn't do them consistently enough. And for me, Teddy's constant work, even without the brilliance, outweighs Latrell's brilliance, because when Teddy's brilliant, he scores just as much as Latrell anyway.
Yeah.
So for me, the safe bet's Teddy, but the gambler in me is going to ride Latrell.
The big balls bet.
Yeah, I'm riding the trail at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know the draw's absolutely horrible, but I went back and looked last year. Melbourne Storm, they played round one. You all know how Melbourne start the season.
Yeah.
117. So that just tells me it doesn't matter. He can just do it when he wants to do it, and I want to be there when he does it.
Yeah. Yeah. He does have it in him. He's a gun, like. Take nothing away from the bloke at all. What about the other guys he talked about? Big Naz, running a 58 average without those injury-affected games. But 58 average isn't bad for the big fella.
For front row, it's up there with the best. Well, not the best, but the second-tier best.
The second-tier best, yeah. Well, especially now with Tarpany sort of coming out. Doing the things he's doing as well.
Well, that's what's probably hurting Nels more than anything.
Yeah, likes of Tarpany and that doing such a good job.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just feel if you're getting a player in this week, I feel you want them to be playing for you in round 24. If not, if something happens, they can fill in at a pinch in round 24.
Yeah.
You want to be that confident in them. You don't want someone for a month or so at this stage of the year. Other people might feel a cash grab there. I feel it'll be a slow burn, not worth it. But each their own, I guess.
Yeah, I'd only sort of do it with injury affected. If I was injury affected this week in the front row, I'd probably maybe look that way. But
well, Huss is looking at missing Origin, and they say the next two Broncos games, and even then. Well, his AC joints may recover to a certain extent, but as my knowledge extends to, it's pretty much either extensive rehab over a long period of time or surgery to fix it. So they're not going to be 100% by the end of the year. And that's just a risk I'm not willing to take. If he's missing the next three games, he's got to go. Clem.
Straight in for him?
Not straight in. If you can jewel it up, maybe change it, or just not even worry about 17, just get someone in for your run home.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the other one he talked about was Jack Bird. Jack Bird's had potential over the years, but for me, they just don't have the points in them, the Dragons. They're not a high point scoring side, and that really cool. That cruels Jack Bird, because Jack Bird's more of a finisher than a creator, in my opinion. He doesn't mind busting that last couple of tackles and scoring the try, which he doesn't get much option to do anymore. He got a lot of option to do that at the Sharks. So, don't get me wrong, he does have it in him, and it'd be a good pod, especially if you get him when he goes on that run. So, I wouldn't discredit anyone for looking at him. But for me, my sort of pod from the Dragon side is Moses Sui. He just keeps chugging along better and better every week. I've wrapped him for the last 3 or 4 years, and he's dudded me to start the year, but he's starting to find form, and looks like he's going to finish the year strong. So that's the way I'd probably go over there.
Alrighty. All right, we're approaching the crucial part of the season. So what do you do now? Like, where are you boys at with trades? How many got left?
I have 12 going into this week.
Same.
No boost.
Same.
I still have a boost. And I think I have 13 trades.
So what do you do? Do you build your team now? Do you reevaluate your dream team based on season form and you know?
Well, I have to because my team's just gone so shit all year. Like, the buys is where I was. Oh, I've only got 12. Sorry, 12 trades and a boost.
So do you? Yeah, do you save trades for the end?
No, I'm planning on boosting this week using the 4 trades.
Oh, yeah, you're doing some serious maintenance.
Yeah, just because, like...
Why?
Because I've still...
Is this just for overall numbers, or is this to help you in head-to-head going forward?
I got to clear out some deadwood, man. Like, I could have boosted and got rid of Cotter last week, and I probably should have in hindsight, just for points and other players that I was going to use. But this week, now that I get the extra one and the boost, like you said, Payne Haas is 3 weeks away. At the moment, at the moment, he's not the guy. So I can easily move him along, use his money elsewhere.
The problem is, but he's dropped that much money now.
Yeah, he has, but for me, it don't matter.
If you plan on selling him. If you plan on keeping him, it doesn't matter. But if you plan on selling him, the time's passed to do that now that he's priced.
Maybe not, but, like, if I get rid of the likes of him, and then I feel Angus Crichton's really plateaued out. It's a form of the team for me. The team's not as smooth as they have been in the past, and he's just not getting the quality ball. He's still doing his defensive work, but he's really not finding an attacking stat this year at all, and that seemed to be going elsewhere. So I just feel I'm going to move on Angus Crichton and look to maybe bring in a David Fifita. I know he's not playing, but we all know what David Fifita can do. And if they don't want the wooden spoon, I feel he has to be on the paddock as much as humanly possible. So
I love him as a pot option to finish season. He's definitely coming into my team.
Yeah, so I was thinking about moving Angus Crichton on for him. Reuben Cotter, I was thinking about just nuffing the second hooker spot, and just Salt Bay and the love through the team.
No Cook?
Nah. No Cook, not with their draw.
Why not? Why are you determined to get rid of Cotter?
I'm not determined to get rid of Cotter, but he's not coming back to 20, which is still 3 weeks away, and it's that time to sort of, I've got the boost there. I've got to sort of move him on, use his money elsewhere, I think.
I feel by this stage of the season, if you still have a boost remaining and you're not in contention for overall glory, the best time to use his boost now would be finals time in case you're injury stricken, COVID struck, something happens throughout your head-to-head finals where shit's really on the line.
I'm not in contention for any.
All right, then. Sweet, do what you do, then.
Yeah. I've had a fucking terrible year, so. Yeah, take my money.
Do we have a Roscoe yet? Nah.
Nah, we're just reading Roscoe's thing.
If you got it up, yeah.
I do not have it up, so keep going along with something else. What were we talking about pre that?
Dream team kind of thing, I think.
I
think it's time to reevaluate it.
Well, yeah, for me, some of the guys at the start of the year who were must-haves for me, the Angus Crichtons of the world and stuff like that, I just feel that they're not the guys this year. Payne Haas isn't the guy this year. Like, was till injury, but...
Yeah.
But after injury, not so much. You could easily swap him out for a Lolo. But happily.
Like, you would have even had Dave Fifita as must-have. A lot wouldn't have now.
Yep.
Even Brown and Thirsty. Like, they're potential must-haves too, depending on how you want to play your setup, your halves, fullback kind of thing. A lot of people wouldn't have even thought of them at the start of the year to be come round 24.
It was... was Munster and enough, or Munster and Cody Walker if they found some form, you know, and they didn't. So, yeah, Dill Bags really turned a corner this year.
The way Ronaldo finished the season last year burnt me. Wasn't looking there at all this year, and now he's put his hand up as right up there with Garrick and Toto at the moment as got to pick me kind of thing.
Yeah. You're sort of behind if you don't have
it.
Yeah, it's one of those things. How you going over there, Juzzy? Got it up?
Yeah, just having a look at his buy, hold, sell. We're ready for that?
Yep.
All righty, sweet ass. Well, big shout out to Ross Mann for doing the buy, hold, sell each
week.
Not
Ross Smith?
No, Ross Mann. Brad Smith does PPM. Big shout out to Ross Smith. Nah, I'm gagging. Ross Mann, so the buyers, Pappy, get him into your team. We've already covered that. Isaiah Tass finally got a game on the weekend, 71 against the Eels. Should be playing again this round. So, yeah, I've actually held Isaiah Tass, I think, on Louis' advice. So shout out to Louis. He did say he would get some more games. It was just sort of an injury away. Here we are. Dylan Brown, I know you guys were spruiking him last week as being the 17, 5/8 to get, or any one of you are downgrading from Munster. Either of you guys do that?
No,
Burks didn't. No,
I did this week.
No, I didn't.
You're doing it this week.
Yeah, because I looked at Dylan Brown's BE, which was 90 odd, and I had other priorities, so I thought that could wait a week.
Yeah,
I pulled the trigger this week.
All right, fair enough. And Trell, he's saying get on Trell. Impressive game coming back from injury. Only going to get better in the run to the finals.
Also pulled the trigger on him this week.
Pardon? Yeah. Well, I haven't looked over my trades yet, but
I'm Dill Bags and Trell. For Ezra Mam and Munster.
That's
at
juicy.
The moment.
It's juicy. I like it. Hold Cameron Munster. A lot of people trading to Puppy or Trell from Munster. He reckons that's crazy. You're going to want Munster for the run home. He's only going to miss a couple of rounds. I've gone against Ross's advice here. I did that trade last week, so it's no going back now.
The week I sold Harry Grant, similar advice was given. And since then, I think Harry Grant scored like 90 points in two games and lost a shitload of cash.
Yeah, anything can happen.
That's it.
And for the sales, Campbell Graham been reported out for around 6 weeks with a facial fracture, which sucks because I do have him.
That's massive.
Payne Haas out, ruled out of origin, another 2 to 3 weeks. So, as Colin's been putting it so eloquently, 2 busted shoulders. Got to go.
It was inevitable.
Yep. Yeah, sweet ass. So, Campbell Graham, that's the big one there for me.
Yeah, that absolutely. That one sucks. So that's coming out of the blue too, which is...
He was looking as one of my run home that played 17, and this is why I hate buy planning. It did come into contention on that trade, I must admit, because otherwise I probably would have gone Toto or Garrick around the same price, and I'd be in a much better position by now.
That's the fickleness of it all. You can plan so much, and then, bang, just one or two things just have to go against you, and all planning goes out the window, and you're back to square one.
Yeah, it's near a waste, eh? Like, it's a head, you know, it's a head miles you don't need. Like, you'd be sitting there come round 7, 8, thinking, oh, you know, I really better start focusing on this. And so you start pulling trades, and then come the round, bang, gone. And then,
oh, yeah, a couple of surprise origin selections like Nani, Cotta,
yeah,
et cetera. And bang, shit goes out the window that way, too. It's like, yeah. That's what I mean. It's almost impossible to predict what's going to happen from round 7 or 8 when you should start your buy planning or whatever until actually round 13 comes around.
Yeah.
And buy planning comes into place luck comes into place.
How many people get suspended for that week? And it's like, come on, guys. Anyway, what do you do? We're going to move into some questions.
Don't plan for it and write it out.
Huh?
Don't really have many. We did have a few people jump in the comments. Cade Burgess was firing up on the refs. Says, yeah, the refs have been off the boil, but he doesn't this happen every year? It's usually part of sport in general. Watch anything else, you'll see.
Oh, 100%. But I'm still going to bitch about it.
But you know what? It's not like they work 52 weeks a year. I understand.
Everyone makes mistakes, bro.
Well, you know what? There's got to be a way to keep them fresh. It's not like they ref every game every week either. They're not as flat out as they should be at this point in the year where they're having a lull.
Yeah, but when you're not flat out in your day-to-day life, do you ever make a mistake?
Nah, not me.
No. Yeah, of course not. That's not anybody. Everyone makes mistakes.
But it's not even that, man. Like, we've got so many other officials out there meant to be helping them. And they'll manage to chime in and call other things back.
At the end of the day, you got 8 minutes of football. If you're going to come back and say, oh, these one or two or three even referee decisions screwed us throughout the whole game.
Yes, because...
it's a hard pill to swallow, even though I said Roosters got robbed last week against Penrith. I sound hypocritical, but you do.
Yeah, I know you do. But if it's a pivotal moment of the game and the momentum just gets taken away from you, or... like, that was a pretty good tackle at the time. It was 50 or 40 out.
That was probably one in the 50, 60, 70 actual moments that are game changers. A lot of them are just incidental incidents throughout the game.
Oh, you know, and a lot of them get laxed as well, and it's at the end of a drumming when things just get so old, don't worry about it sort of thing, you know? Like, that happens a lot. It's too officiated, doesn't get officiated as hard when someone's whooping someone.
Mm.
If you catch me drift.
Yeah, I do.
But I got some questions. I got one from Brian Ings. I have Robson, Arpy, McInnes, and Brendan Smith as hookers in my side. I'm thinking of keeping Arpy and Robbo to the end, but would be better to trade one this week and move Smith to the hooker spot. This would free up a spot for Offer of Hengawe to slot into my second row and give me 15 players for the 17, currently sitting 712th. So it's big decisions. And to have that many players come this round, it's
as
good.
As long as you have enough money to upgrade Smith within
in
the next one
weeks,
or two
yeah.
rounds to preferably Harry Grant or Damien Cook if he keeps going the way he's going. But Harry Grant's obviously the top option, but I wouldn't like to run home with that. And I'd want to get rid of McInnes and Brandon Smith ASAP.
Yeah, see, I even thought about selling McInnes even though he plays the bye round just because Finucane's back.
In that situation, the 712th, you'd keep him for this round, but you wouldn't want to keep him for much longer after that.
Yeah. Yeah, so who would you get rid of, Arpy or Robson? Who do you see having a better finish for the rest of the year?
This week?
For the rest of the year, Robson, Arpy, say for next four games.
Well, I'm personally leaning towards backing Robson home.
Yeah.
But that's fickle.
So, well, the thing
that
is...
that could change. Like, I could run with Cotter, I could run with Cook, I could run with Arpy, or I could run with Robson.
Yeah.
Robson's the appeal because of his pod. Cotter's the appeal because of his jewel. And Grant's just a given.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'd probably move Arpy on myself just because he's the one there that doesn't play the bigger minutes.
Well, I think he's had two big scores in his last two. I think his break-even's pretty low, so if you don't need the number 17, you'd probably ride Arpy out for at least another decent price rise.
Well, you could use that.
Licking him.
Arpy, and that could... the Arpy money there could upgrade Smith to a Grant.
Well, I think Arpy and Grant could be a good combination towards the end.
Yeah. All right. Elijah Tiffany. Think him selling money to Papi, so Munster, to Papi and bringing him back next week after Cody Walker plays so I can keep drinking. Any good?
Let's say again.
Okay, thinking of selling Munster to Papi and bringing him back next week after Cody Walker plays this week. That way he can keep drink water. So he's obviously got drink water.
Aren't you selling Munster this week for Papenhuyzen?
No, I sold Munster for Papi last week, points. Yeah, look, I get what he's doing. He just wants to keep the extra 5/8 there.
For the week. So he'll probably sell Cody Walker next week.
Yeah.
But, that means next week Cody Walker will go to Munster. Probably.
But it depends. Because at the end of the day, I think Cody Walker's break-even is pretty high. So are you keeping Cody Walker just for his possibly 40 to 80 points, maybe less, and a price drop? to then trade him back to Munster just to have him for 17?
But to me,
that's a waste of a trade. If you're going to do it, you just flick Cody Walker now.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't hate Cody Walker for a price drop and potential decent score. It just doesn't seem worth a trade to me.
Gregory's wise words, everybody. So jump on Cody Walker. He's going to have a fucking blinder this week.
All right. Dan Morgan, is it feasible to run without Little Pappy this week?
Absolutely.
Look, it is. It's always feasible to run without anyone because basically he could, get injured or anything could happen. But
he could score 6 tries in 7 minutes too.
He could. He could, and that would be terrible for Dan.
Well, what you got to do is weigh up the odds. What's the odds of Pappenhausen going 90 plus? And what's odds of Pappenhausen not going 90 plus? If you think the odds are greater of him going 90 plus, jump straight on. If you think they're less, he's not a must.
All right. That's the way Con's busted that down. I think he's a must this week. But
oh, absolutely.
Well, I think based on that logic, I think, yeah, he is a sure thing for 90 plus pretty much. He usually is, so.
If not, high 80 he'll take.
Yeah.
You know, it'll come good.
But like you said, like, last 4 minutes of that game, so. You never know. And they don't give up. They prove that. We thought they were gone. Commentators have written them off. Like, they don't give up. They almost got back in it. Almost. They left it too late.
I see. I reckon it was close to 90 points he scored in those last, I think, 3 minutes of actual game time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all the questions.
That was like the outrageous I heard. Joey Chestnut ate 63 hot dogs in 10 minutes.
Yeah, good idea.
That's 6.3 hot dogs a minute. That's a hot dog every 10 seconds.
Yeah.
How crazy is that?
That's three chews.
That is outrageous. Let alone how can you eat 63 hot dogs, but how can you eat a hot dog every 10 seconds?
They dip them in water and swallow them whole.
But you've still got to swallow that. Mm. You've got to hold that. You got to eat that.
Yeah, it's pretty full on. Wouldn't want to poop it all out, that's for sure.
If you got a eating competition supercage, Joey Chestnut's your man.
Righto.
Would you rather vomit it out afterwards or have to poop it out? Yeah, you'd rather poop it out? I'd rather vomit it out and let it go through me.
I hate vomiting.
So do I, but...
ended up here.
But, well, 64 hot dogs, it begs the question.
I didn't mean to swear like that, but far out.
But 64 hot dogs.
Moving on.
I'm just saying it's got to go somewhere.
Yeah, 100%.
We've all had to do a meat poo after a big barbecue.
Bro.
You got anything there, mate?
Well, Danny, I'm sure as fuck I'm finishing on that.
wouldn't be pooping rocks. You'd be pooping boulders, bro.
Bro, we just lost like 12 people.
I don't think so.
My bad.
It's 10 o'clock at night. If you can't handle a poo joke.
What else we got?
No, that's it. I just can say, just quickly, we were talking about Origin earlier, like, because we're pretty much done Supercoach-wise. Talking Origin earlier, and this is my personal thought. I don't know. Everyone might think I'm a little bit mad, but I think Talakai gets dropped and he plays for the Sharks, and Jackie Boy Whiten makes the bench for the Blues.
So who becomes 18th man then?
Not sure. Not fast.
Why? You don't know Hines and Paps?
Yeah.
I do, but I don't think it'll be
Paps
either.
So becomes 18th man, you're not fast?
It might just be Talakai that becomes 18th. You know? On versatility, it's not a smart play.
If Talakai's not in the 17, he's not in the 18.
But I don't know if it's just me feeling hard done by for Jackie Boy, but he was definitely...
Jackie's been stooged, bro.
Like, definitely worth a shout and worth a bench.
If he wore a different coloured jersey, he'd be playing this week.
I have no doubt about that. I have no doubt if he was fucking maroon, he'd be anywhere. He'd find a spot for him.
Yeah, somewhere.
But for me, like, our first couple of games we
carried... Do you boot Damien Cook and play him as 14?
Well, that was the thing. That was what I was going to say. We carried him back in the first couple of games.
I think it'd be harsh to boot Cook.
You can't boot Cook. I think
Appy would have to go if you're going to go down that route personally.
Just, well, the 1-2 punch worked. And the 1-2 punch has worked time and time again with the two hookers. It's just two totally different games, and sometimes defences can't adjust
not ready for
between.
The game.
Well, they just can't adjust between the two. It's so different. Like, and that's sometimes the good thing about having two hookers, but you lose a punch off the bench.
Like I say, I don't think the two hooker system is why New South Wales won that game at all.
Oh fuck no! Like, we
Appy
just
could have played 80. Cook could have played 80, and the result would have been the exact same.
We just had the better night on the night. Like we had better intensity and shit. Like,
well, first half it was anyone's game. It was could have gone either way.
Yep, fully agree.
And then us being down to 12 is no excuse.
No, that he does a lot of work, bro.
But they scored that last try after he was off, which did change the game. He just went in front ahead 14-12, I think, instead of 12-8 down. And then that extra 9 minutes after the second half, it's big difference. And I think the next game's going to be a lot closer. I can see a one-point golden pointer kind of thing.
I love a golden point filler, bro. As long as we win it.
I think like a 14-15... Either way, I can't pick which way. I hope Queensland, but...
Who kicks it?
Well, hopefully, Ben Hunt.
Nah, charge down.
No, Chez would kick it because he's a double footer. But we got options. We got Munster, we got Chez, we got Hunt. Grant can snake a cheeky one. KP at the back.
Is KP playing?
Yeah. So, we got plenty of options. New South Wales, on the other hand, got one, maybe two.
Nathan. Oh, do you trust Birdo to do Origin?
Well, obviously you go Nathan as priority, and then Birdo as your backup. But apart from that,
I reckon Crichton could slot one in a pinch.
Steven?
Yeah.
Yeah, possibly, but...
Look, I'm telling you, yeah, Nate's our...
They wouldn't be setting up for it. Nah, Birdo's dead. Like, if you're 40-odd out, I'm going to Birdo before I'm going to Nate.
Don't you remember Juzzy stat
from Birdo
the other
put
week?
One over from 60.
Remember that game they played yous?
Yeah.
He had five cracks for no gets.
No.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Finished 14-all.
Yeah, just hit the post.
He had five cracks for no gets.
He hit the post like three or four times. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, Sean has quickly thrown a couple of questions in here. Sean says, g'day, lads.
Sean,
what's going on?
Lucky week for me. Held TAS, sold Haas.
Nice.
To sell Cotter or not to sell this week? Burning question. McInnes to Grant next week, Paps and Trell in this week. Oops.
I like that.
That's the thing. I've got Jones with Cotter as well. Do I hold Cotter or do I sell Cotter? But
if that's what you get out of it, you get Puppy, Trell. Who else was on that list?
McInnes to Grant next week.
Yeah, Grant. Like, bang. 100%.
Well, yes, Paps and Trell this week and then Grant next week.
Yeah.
Just by trading out Cotter.
Oh, he's probably got other moves, but that's...
Yeah, obviously they have to upgrade Teddy's and whatever, but...
I don't mind that.
Yeah, getting rid of Cotter frees up that kind of cash, it's a given.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I am happy with, that Gerbo maintains his spot, but I don't like Jordan McLean. I'm going to level with you, that Regan Campbell-Gillard spot that was. We talked about he was best, probably another one best on ground game one. I didn't watch him defensively. I don't know.
He wasn't by any stretch of imagination best on ground, but
no, not best forward.
What he put out in the forward stocks in game one, he was definitely top two or three in the New South Wales pack.
And yeah, so I felt he probably got a bit hard done by McLean getting the spot. Even though McLean he was there a couple of years ago and then got injured.
That Storm and then the Cowboys got hurt.
So he just
fell apart.
Like he was there.
Australia.
Yeah. He was on the cusp of Origin. So we can only hope so. But Gerbo does a job. He does a good job for us in the middle. So I'm stoked he's there again.
So there's rumours that Paulo might be shuffled up to start McLean come from the bench.
Yeah, I'd handle that.
I don't want to throw him in the cauldron in a decider.
I do like Junior Paul off the bench, but...
Yeah.
He offers variety, you know what I mean? He's not just your run-of-the-mill front rower. He's got footwork.
Do you need that instead of just having two straight up and down as like McLean and Trbojevic start.
Well, I think
you're going to get picked off because you know they're just going to run straight, no offloads, no ball play, no footwork.
Really. I think you do now. Payne Haas is gone, which that could be the elevation for Junior to the start.
Like, I know Jakey ball plays for Manly, but he showed
it's very
in
different.
Origin 2, he was run.
Who's playing front row, you know? Like
whether the tactics change or not this time, I don't think so, but I think he's too straight up and down as
I think that's his job. I think it'd just be disheartening to see him throw an offload and not get it right. So it's his
Paulo.
Job. No, I'm talking Paulo, you saw respect it, but Jakey's there to lock. It's harden the team a bit, you know.
That's what I mean, so I don't feel.
Like, did you seen Jakey at the end? He was fucking so happy to be there. Like, he
yeah,
was 100%. So.
Well, no, Jakey 100% deserves to be. I'm not taking anything.
Everything was just nice.
I just don't feel Jakey can play his Manly game for New South Wales. Well, Yo's at the third end.
Oh, you can't.
He has to run the ball.
Yo's better,
and he doesn't offer a great deal. I love Jakey, but he doesn't offer a great deal when he runs the ball. He's not a Payne Haas or something, Junior Paulo even. And McLean, I think, is very similar.
Yes. All right, so that's us, is it? Are we going to bring our readjusted dream teams next week?
Next week, after all the buys, Origin said and done.
Yep.
I think that's time to recalibrate fully. And.
Or did we touch on the save and the trades for the last few rounds or stack your team ASAP?
I mean, I asked that question. Week.
Did we answer it?
Oh, I think you sort of moved on from it.
Oh, sorry.
Cade Burgess, round 17. How many nuffs are you running in each position for the run home?
Ideally one in the front row. I've got two in the second row at the moment.
So that's three. How many in the centres?
And I've got one in the centres, I think.
Yeah, ideally three total.
Yeah? Didn't you say you got a dream team of 21?
I did. You're right.
So you need another one.
Just one up 22.
All right, let me just double check, see if we got any.
All right, so yeah. Good luck this weekend, coaches, on your bye affected week.
That's it. Good luck with your snipe teams, everyone. I hope you fucking don't beat us.
Anyone out here in the Hawkesbury, stay safe, stay afloat. Con. Good luck, mate. Water's probably, 150 metres from your house?
Yeah. If you need me, guys, I've got a little boat out the back. I'll come pick you up.
So, yeah, it's pretty up there. So, yeah.
Oh, the roads are open.
Oh, the roads would be sweet, bro.
Yeah, I know.
Rivers are open.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, there's been some tragic shit that actually happened, so.
It is. It's very, very sad. Unfortunately, these people have gone through it time and time again. And it never get easier.
So peace out.
Thanks for listening. Stay coachy, coaches.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.